Our Father, we do thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that we can read your words here. Please help us understand them, Lord. Please continue to encourage us by this example of Philip boldly speaking the good news of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, January is a great time to focus on what's important. It's a new year. People are making all kinds of resolutions. Some of us are keeping them. But I find it's a good time of year to step back and get some perspective. And we're kind of doing this as a church in January. We're thinking about what does it mean to be God's people? How should we function together as a church? And we're doing this by looking at a few different people in the book of Acts. The series is titled No Easy Answers, because as we think about what we are doing as God's people gathered, it's going to stretch us. It's going to humble us. This work of bringing people to know Jesus, of maturing them as followers of Christ, it will always humble us. But as we're reminded last Sunday by Mike, Jesus is the Lord and the King of his church, and he is the one who enables us to go forward and do this wonderful work. So this week we're looking at how Philip engaged an outsider in Acts 8. And I've always found this history of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch to be a fascinating one. Like, you've got this angel speaking to Philip, if you look at it in verse 26. And then if you look down at verse 39, there's this weird thing happening where the Spirit suddenly takes Philip away, like it's some kind of miraculous transportation taking place. And so in the past, I've got so caught up thinking about the angel speaking or this miraculous transportation, I haven't noticed the biggest miracle in this passage. This Ethiopian eunuch being brought from death to eternal life as Philip opens up God's word with him. And as I've reflected on this passage, I've been thinking, surely God didn't need to send Philip. Like, it was a bit of a walk for Philip to get down there in the first place. Surely, in fact, it would have been much more impressive for the Holy Spirit to transport an angel down to this Ethiopian eunuch. How much easier to be to listen to an angel. But the thing is, God hasn't chosen to spread the good news of Jesus through angels. He's chosen to spread the gospel through his followers faithfully opening up the word of God. And if there's nothing else that you take away from this morning, that would be a good thing to take. God is wonderfully growing his church through his people opening his word with others. Like, I want you to imagine a reporter interviewing Jesus before he ascended to heaven. So after Jesus' resurrection, before his ascension, imagine the reporter asks him, Jesus, what's your plan now? And Jesus says, my plan is for my kingdom to grow across the whole earth, like a tiny mustard seed turns into the tree that fills the whole garden. And the reporter says, okay, that's a big plan. How are you going to do it? Are you going to march into Jerusalem and take over? Have you got some soldiers with you so that you can start setting up this kingdom, take over the world? Maybe you've got a legion of angels going to come down and help you? And Jesus says no. And he points to a scared group of people sitting in an upper room. He says, I'm going to use them. And the reporter says, that is a pathetic and pretty useless bunch of people you're pointing to, Jesus. What are you talking about? How are you going to use them? And Jesus says, I've conquered death and sin through the weakness of the cross. I'm going to use weak people like them to bring my kingdom to the whole world. And the reporter says, well, surely there's a plan B. That's not going to work. What's your plan B, Jesus? And Jesus says, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. I'm going to build my church through ordinary people like Philip, opening up the word of God with others. And I'm going to continue building my church even today, 2019, through ordinary people like us, opening up the word of God with others. And we see Jesus' faithfulness. You know, today, hundreds of millions of people all around the globe calling on him as Lord. He has grown his kingdom and he continues to do it. So you know where we're going. I've got three headings for us. The first is a willing messenger. The second is a humble hearer. And the third is the perfect scripture. So the first point, a willing messenger. Philip's such an encouraging figure, isn't he? We know from Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that he was one of those godly deacons who was chosen in Jerusalem to look after the widows there. And then when they were scattered because of the great persecution after Stephen was stoned to death, Philip wasn't discouraged. None of the believers were discouraged. They just kept on preaching the gospel where they were. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. There's such an inspiring boldness in the early church. They didn't care if people didn't like them. In fact, they rejoiced to suffer for the name of Jesus. And they kept proclaiming it. It's like the recent persecution of believers in China. You might have heard of it. There's these brave pastors who are being taken off to jail, and they're writing letters back to their congregations, encouraging them to stand firm for Christ. They're even publicly calling leaders to repent, even the leader of China, Xi Jinping. They're calling him to repent of his sins and trust in Jesus. What an inspiring example for us to proclaim Christ boldly, even when it might mean that people look down on us for it. Now, Philip had a successful ministry in Samaria, and the borders of the church were expanding from Jerusalem to Samaria. And now God's got a new task for Philip, to expand the borders of the church even further, down to Africa. And you can read it with me in Acts 8, verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So here's Philip. He's a willing messenger. He drops what is a successful ministry in Samaria to obey God. Makes the trip down. We see his willingness again in verse 29 when the Spirit tells him to go to the eunuch's chariot. And not only does he go in verse 30, Philip's running to tell him the good news. And he keeps going even after he meets the eunuch. We see in verse 40 that Philip went on preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is an amazing role model of what it looks like to take every opportunity to share the good news about Jesus, wherever he was. Now, I want us to note a couple of things about the call from the angel in verse 26. The first thing to notice is this is descriptive, it's not prescriptive. And we've had that distinction before. It's describing what the angel said to Philip, not prescribing and saying, you should expect an angel to speak to you every time you need to go and share the gospel with someone. It's a unique moment in salvation history where the borders of the church are expanding. And the early church, it took a while to come to terms with the fact that people outside of Israel, non-Jewish people, were going to be coming in to God's kingdom. And so we have unique circumstances like this in Acts to prompt the expansion of the kingdom. I also want us to notice that the angel speaks clearly in such a way that Philip can understand and he isn't left in any doubt. Unfortunately, many people today think that they have to listen carefully to hear God speak to them. When we've got God's word in front of us in black and white, but they think, no, I've got to get into some kind of deep spiritual state through meditation and listen very closely, and maybe, just maybe, God will speak to me. But God is the God of all the universe. He knows how to speak clearly. He's better at communicating than you are or than I am. It's very dangerous when people start saying God spoke to them when all they mean is they had some weird feeling in their stomach, which might have been last night's dinner. This isn't Philip having some vague feeling that God's calling him to do something. This is direct, unmistakable communication from an angel. And so Philip obeys the call. And we probably will not receive a call from an angel to share the gospel. But we already have the command of Jesus to share the gospel. And we might not have the Holy Spirit whisper in our ear, go up to that chariot and speak to that guy. But we've already got the example of Philip here, which shows us that the gospel is for all people, all nations. Also, we know from Acts 17:26 that God is the one who has sovereignly placed each and every one of us where he wants us. I don't work in the same places as you do. You've been placed where you work. You've been placed where you study. You've been placed in the family you're in the friendship circles you're in. You've been placed in that place where you relax. God is the one who's sovereign over all our times, all our places, and he's placed us to share the good news of Jesus with others. You have opportunities I'll never have. And we need to think about how do we use those opportunities to share the gospel. And maybe sometimes you think, I don't have any opportunities. I remember when I was in university, I went down to Canberra for a leadership conference down there, and we got to meet different politicians, and I found out that one of the politicians was a Christian. And so I asked her, you know, how do you get opportunities to share the gospel with people? And she said, I always remember this because it's so helpful. She said, I found that if I'm praying to God regularly for opportunities, they just seem to fall into my lap. She said, if you go off and you pray for opportunities to share the gospel for 30 days, I'd be very surprised if God didn't answer that prayer. It's a prayer that God loves to answer. So God placed Philip where he needed to be to share the gospel with this Ethiopian. And God has placed each of us exactly where we are so we can share the gospel with others too. So that's our first point. Philip is a willing messenger. Our second point is a humble hearer. And this Ethiopian eunuch, he's the perfect example of someone who is humble and who's ready to receive the good news of Jesus. He has three lines in this passage and all three of them are questions. I mean, this is a high-powered government official, but he's got the humility to say, I don't know. I want to know, but I don't know yet. And I want to say, if you're new to church, or if you're new to Christianity, perhaps you're starting to come to church because it's a new year, even if you have all kinds of questions going around in your head, I want to say you're in good company with this Ethiopian eunuch. And if you find yourself a bit embarrassed to ask questions, but you've still got the humility to ask anyway, I want to say you're in good company with this Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This man is a humble hearer. We're also told that he was a eunuch. And for someone that we don't even learn the name of, this seems like a bit of a personal detail to be told. But it's significant. Now, if you don't know, a eunuch was a man who had had his sexual organs didn't function properly. It's likely he'd been castrated, and it's probably not appropriate to go into more biological data than that. And so if you want to find out more on what a eunuch is, Wikipedia has a very helpful article. It was quite common, actually, for eunuchs to be employed in powerful positions because they wouldn't have close loyalties to anyone else. And so they were seen as more trustworthy. But being a eunuch wasn't looked on favorably by the Jewish people. And rightly so. To intentionally maim a human being to serve the king, or the queen in this case, that's nothing short of cruel. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says, no one who has been emasculated may enter the assembly of the Lord. And that's why Luke has included this detail in the book of Acts. Being a eunuch meant that this man was hindered from full access to the people of God. So even though this guy, he'd traveled more than 500 kilometers through the desert to get to Jerusalem, he wouldn't have been able to enter the temple any further than the court of the Gentiles. It meant he would not have been able to participate in the sacrifices at the temple. His ethnicity and his broken body hindered him from entering. It's important to understand that these laws in Deuteronomy weren't a form of unjust discrimination. God had a purpose in laying down these laws to show the purity and wholeness required to enter into his presence. And they also prefigure the purity and wholeness of Christ, who would ultimately enable all people to have full access to the heavenly temple. It didn't mean eunuchs couldn't be saved in the Old Testament law, but it meant that they were hindered from full access to the assembly of the people. But what I find amazing in this passage is that this high-powered man, he isn't angry with God about this. He's not shaking his fist at God and saying, how dare you not give me access to the assembly? Don't you know who I am? I'm the treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. I'm one of the most important people in one of the most important kingdoms in all Africa. No. He's not arrogantly asserting his rights. Instead, he's still humbly searching He's obtained a copy of Isaiah and he's searching. He's seeking. And notice how humbly he's doing it. When Philip comes up beside him in verse 30 and he asks if he understands what he's reading, he would have been reading aloud as people did in the ancient world. Look at his response in verse 31. He says, How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And this high-powered official has the humility to invite Philip up into his chariot to explain this scripture. See, when the Holy Spirit is working inside of someone, they have a real desire to understand God's word. If you come across someone who has a genuine desire to understand what God's saying in his word, don't let that opportunity pass you by. Organize to meet with them and read the scripture together and help them to understand it. And this brings us to our third point, the perfect scripture. See, if one of the main things that God has for us together, St. Thomas's, as a community to do, is to engage people with the good news of Jesus, it's good to know how to go about it. Don't you think? How do we do it? How do we make followers of Jesus? It isn't through clever arguments. It's not through having the best praise band, as good as our band is. It isn't through listening to the marketing gurus and figuring out how do they manipulate people's emotions so that they buy a product. Now, the tool God's given us that he's promised to work by his Spirit through in order to make followers of Christ is the scriptures. Look at what it says in verse 35. Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. So Jesus said, it's like a shepherd with his sheep. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. When the shepherd calls, the sheep listens. That's why we take the scriptures to the world. That's why when we're gathered as a church, we want to open up the scriptures. When we're talking with someone about Christ, we want to bring them the scriptures. And if you want a good Bible passage to explain the gospel with, it's hard to go past the one the eunuch was reading in his chariot. I want you to flick across to page 731 in your Bible, 731, because on that page we have Isaiah chapter 53. Just flick across in your Bibles with me. I wonder whether this eunuch noticed verse 8, where it talks about who can speak of his descendants. You know, maybe the eunuch's feeling something similar. Or perhaps the eunuch had this part of Isaiah because of what it says a bit further along in Isaiah 56, where it actually talks about a time when even eunuchs will be brought into God's temple. Whatever drew the eunuch to this text, Philip would have only had to look at it, look at the whole passage to show Jesus in Isaiah 53. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 3. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And you think, who's that talking about? Or verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Who's that talking about? Verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These are amazing verses. I have a good friend who became a Christian about a year ago, and we both have a similar hobby of listening to political commentary from the US by some Jewish kind of radio hosts. And he has great respect for these Jewish guys, and I do too. And he asked me one day, why don't Jewish people believe in Jesus? And so I sent this passage, Isaiah 53, to my friend, and I said, you look at that. I didn't tell him where it was from. And tell me, who's this talking about? And he got back pretty quickly and said, it's talking about Jesus, that's obvious. I said, this is from 700 years before Jesus was born. This is from the Jewish scriptures. When they've got this passage sitting in their scriptures, I don't understand why Jewish people don't embrace the good news of Jesus as their Messiah. I mean, it teaches about the innocence of Jesus. It teaches about his death, even death by piercing. It teaches about the way he pays for sins with his death. It teaches about his resurrection. This is a great passage to have on hand if you ever want to explain the gospel to someone else. And if you don't feel equipped to share the gospel, can I encourage you to learn this passage? Meditate on it. Be ready to share it with friends. Or another place, if you want to be equipped to share the gospel with people, is these little booklets called Two Ways to Live. They're free on the bookstore at the back. You pick them up and you can explain the gospel very simply with a friend. I've sat down with people and literally just read it to them and gone through and just said, you know, do you understand it? It's a really easy way to explain the gospel. And the best thing about it is that it's soaked in scripture. It's got Bible passages all through it. And so not only are you explaining the gospel clearly, you're bringing scripture to your friend. Or if you want another resource to write down to go and be equipped further to share the gospel with people, if you go to YouTube and just search on YouTube for Living Waters, there's hundreds of videos there, only about 5 minutes long, of a seasoned Christian evangelist going up to people and just sharing the gospel with them one-on-one. He does a great job of it. He uses the Bible. It's a really good resource if you want to be equipped to share the gospel like Philip did here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this year as a church we had dozens or even hundreds of people sharing the gospel boldly, just like Philip did here? January is a great time to start. Now, I know it's not often we walk beside someone who's in their chariot reading a portion of Isaiah out, and so this situation might not come across us very often. But maybe all that it takes this year is to invite someone you know out to lunch or out to dinner. And then at some point in the conversation, say something like, hey, you know I'm a Christian, right? And they might say, yeah, I know that. And you say, well, knowing Jesus is the most important part of my life. It's like the most marvelous thing. I have a secure eternity. I have a relationship with God. I was wondering, can I take 5 minutes just to explain what Jesus is all about? I'll tell you the worst thing that could happen if you do that with your friend. The worst thing that could happen is that they could kill you. And you go to be with Jesus and enjoy eternity with him. But I think it's pretty unlikely they'll kill you. It's unlikely they'll even throw you in jail like has been happening with Christian pastors in China. The worst thing that will probably happen is they say, no, I'm not interested to hear about that at the moment. That's fine. You go talk about holidays or something like that. But imagine if they say yes. And you get to sit with them, take them through the gospel, maybe using something like this. Imagine if God, by his Spirit, opens their heart to receive Christ. Wouldn't that be a wonderful lunchtime? And if they say no, have your conversation about holidays and just invite someone else out for lunch next week. That's all right. I heard a good story about this, actually, at the Wednesday night Bible study just this past Wednesday. You all know, 7 p.m. down in the hall. We're going through Acts if you want to join us. But there's a wonderful godly lady from this congregation, I won't say her name, who was telling me about an opportunity she had to share the gospel. And it was in a place that she'd been put by God through her work. She'd gone along to a conference where it was connecting kind of people with disabilities with carers. And through that, she'd gotten to know a man who has cerebral palsy. And she got to know him. And at some point in their relationship, she shared the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ with him. And he's become a Christian. In fact, he's become now a minister. And he has a ministry to churches to help them be more inclusive for people with disabilities. I just think, isn't that wonderful? It's just one person having one conversation. We don't know where it can lead. The impact we can have. Some early church historians say that this Ethiopian eunuch went on to become a missionary to his homeland. Wouldn't it be wonderful this year if we, each one of us, had an opportunity to have a conversation like that, sharing the gospel one-on-one, and who knows where it could lead? Maybe to them reaching a people still unreached with the good news of Christ. Let's pray God would use us in 2019 for this. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that the good news of Jesus is such good news. Eternal life, forgiveness, being able to call out to you as our Father. Lord, fill our hearts with love for you and love for other people, and love for the lost. We thank you for this wonderful example of Philip. Please, Lord, give us boldness to take the gospel wherever we are. For your glory. Amen.